I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Stan Bowman is the Blackhawks general manager, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
Good morning, Stan.
Doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and you know, we're sitting here and we're trying to understand everything that happened yesterday. Stan, are you satisfied with the deals that you got done?
Yes. When at the end of the day, you have to look at your team and your status of your players, the couple guys who are unrestricted free agents. Part of my job is to make sure that if we don't have players signed past the season, that we have to try to get value out of them, which is the goal heading into yesterday. And it's obviously a different deadline than we've had in years past, but you know, to be able to recoup a couple draft choices and a young defenseman that we're excited about, I think it helps build up that pool of assets that we can use to continue to find young players, you know, to bring into our team. And you know, you look at our team this year, I think some of the bright spots have been the play of our young players, and we need to find some more guys that can do that over the next couple years to come in and you know, push our team forward. So that was the goal heading into the day, and we were able to accomplish that.
Stan, it's been reported that negotiations with Robin Leonard fell apart or after he made the counteroffer for a 3-year contract and wanted to hear from the team, and he was willing to take a reduced salary. How would you describe the tenor of those negotiations and the likelihood of him being willing to return to the Hawks or the Hawks wanting to pursue him in free agency?
Well, I've been asked that question a couple times, and what I'll say about it is I don't think it's fair to the process to talk about what was said in our negotiations. I mean, certainly they're free to do that. I don't think we've never operated that way. You know, the tenor of the negotiations was very, very good. Talking to Craig Oster, who I dealt with from his representation group, fantastic discussions over you know, several weeks, and there was not contentious at all. Ton of respect for the agency that represents Robin, and Robin himself is a fantastic guy. So the details of those conversations, it's not something that I want to get into, but there was never any it was not a bad negotiation by any means.
Stan, do you know who's going to play goalie next year?
Well, we have ideas into that, but no, we don't have our number one goaltender signed. We've got a couple of young goalies who are having great, very good seasons once again, and we expect them to be pushing for one of the spots on our team. And the other goaltender is something that we're going to have to decide upon before we get to the summer. But there's a lot of changes that are going to happen between now and next training camp amongst every team in the league. If you were to take a snapshot today of what a team's depth chart looks like, and then you take another snapshot next October, there's going to be a lot of moving parts on every team, not just the Blackhawks. So those types of decisions on what our roster is going to look like for next year, they don't take shape in February. That all will play out over the next several months.
Stan, yesterday felt like a concession. Obviously, this year the playoffs do not look like a possibility that it's realistic at this point. If you miss the playoffs again, that's 3 years in a row. You work for an organization that preaches one goal. And after missing the playoffs 3 years in a row, I think a lot of fans wonder about accountability. Do you worry about your own job security in that context?
Well, the first thing is we're not conceding anything. We do have a big hill to climb here, but we've had a tough stretch over our last 10 or 12 games where we've lost a lot of close games. We've played very competitively. We've been in every game, and we haven't been able to get it to the result we want. But we expect to keep going here. We're not giving up anything. I think the moves we made yesterday were part of the balance that you have to make as a general manager of looking at the short term and the long term. So from that side of it, we expect our team to still play well and go on a hot streak here. We'll see how that plays out, but there's still, a quarter of the season to go. So as far as the rest of your question, of course, this is a winning business. We understand that. And I think, what's happened over the last couple of years here was it's a correction from where we were. There's no question about that. And it's something we want to correct by trying to push our team forward with incorporating some new younger players. I think for a number of years, we had the same group of players year after year. We had a lot of stability. That doesn't always work, though, as time goes on and players earn new contracts and players age. Things change and you enter a different era. And we still have some of those players remaining from those teams that had a lot of success. And they're still good players. So we're trying to build up around them, and it's hard to do that overnight. We're trying to still be a competitive team, which I think we've shown we can do. When we play our best hockey, we can beat anyone in the league. We're trying to find that consistency to do it all the time. So as far as, the bigger picture, we're balancing the short term and the long term. And it's not always the results you're looking for, but I think we're still putting a competitive team out there, and we want these guys to learn how to win. The younger players don't have the experience of what it takes to win, but we know that in time they're going to lead us to some really good things.
If indeed you don't make the playoffs and it is a three-year problem, let's say, would you consider dismantling things when you talk about veteran players and rely more on the younger guys? Is that, the idea of a rebuild? You've been trying to kind of do two things at once. Is there any point where you get to a realization that you have to kind of dismantle some of it?
Well, I don't know if that really happens in the hockey world today. It may happen in other sports, but there's that term is of dismantling teams. It's not really the way that our sport operates. There's a lot of hypothetical situations you could ask me about, and I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to try to go down the road and answering exactly what's going to happen if A, then B, because I've never liked to go down those types of things. There's a lot of things we don't know. Things change in the business with your team, with players' performance. There's a lot of things that are hard to assume, and I think that's why we just try to adapt to the situation we have rather than give you a specific answer on if this happens, then that's going to happen.
One thing we assume, Stan, is that when you signed a contract extension, it was through the 2021 season. The last time I think the Hawks made an announcement to that to effect last summer, it was reported by Elliot Friedman that you signed a 2-year extension to that. And so when we're talking about the future, I think a lot of people do wonder about, does that mean that you are going to be here for those terms, for that length of time? Is that a report that's accurate?
Well, I've never spoken about my own situation. I certainly leave that to the organization itself, I think. So that's not something I'm going to comment on. You know, I think I'm still here working, and I plan to be until they tell me not to.
Jeremy Colliton is a guy that you brought in, and there have been mixed results. He's kind of doing his own thing. Are you pleased with the way things are going with him? Is there any hesitation to the job he's doing?
No, I've been very pleased with the way Jeremy's been working through this. It's a challenging time. There's no question about that. He came in middle of the season, so that was tough. And, you know, you're replacing a legendary coach, so that's a tough position for anybody to be in. And I thought that our team really responded, you know, the second half of last season. There was a lot of positive things when we ended the year, and there were a few areas that we wanted to shore up, so we made, you know, some changes to bring in some new players and to address those shortcomings, which is, you know, the way you look at it. When you're good in some areas and not in others, you try to shore up the areas that are weak, and I think we did that. But that took us to training camp this year, where we ended up with several new players, and once again, it just takes a little bit of time to get everybody acclimated to what you're trying to do. And I think once we got through that initial stage, we started playing some much better hockey. And I think, you know, that's what the coach can do, which is imprint himself with some of the habits and the new details. You want those to happen quickly and happen overnight, but it doesn't happen that way. And I think now that we've had some better habits learned from our players, there's been a better performance over the last several months, and you know that's on the coaching staff to do that, and I've seen progress from that. So, you know, I think Jeremy's done a really good job. He's able to connect with the players on a personal level, and you know, really understand what makes the modern athlete tick. And there's a tactical aspect to it, but there's also a personal aspect to it. I think he's got a great way with people and understanding how we can get the most out of them. So, you know, we've had some challenges this year. You know, we're missing several players. And I think even throughout that, he's been able to put together a group of players, young lineup with guys that can find their way into the league. And he's had them playing very well. So, I've been pleased with Jeremy's performance, and we're always looking to improve and get better. And you know, he and I talk daily on our team and ways that that we can make our team a better team. So had a good chat with him last night about, you know, the final stretch here and how, you know, we intend to make a strong finish. And that's the goal as of today.
Have any of these guys agreed to waive their no-trade clause, or have you gone to any of them about that? Is that one of the issues going on here?
Is waiving no-trade clauses?
Yeah. Yep.
No, we haven't asked a player directly on those types of things. There's a lot of factors that go into that, which you know, I'm not going to get into on this call, but I think the idea of trading a bunch of players away, and as you see in today's NHL, it's just a little bit different the way that works. And what I mean is, if you look at the trades that happened, it was really situational type things. Guys going into the last year of their contract being traded, or it was players with maybe a year to go that didn't have a certain skill set. The guys you're referring to are those are typically not players that are traded league-wide. It's very unusual for that to happen. Not impossible, but that's not the way our sport really works.
Thanks so much, Stan. Appreciate your time.
Stan, thanks a lot.
Yes, no problem. Have a nice day.
That is Stan Bowman. He is the Blackhawks general manager.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.